The Baseball Tonight podcast is presented by LinkedIn Jobs.
Way out of here. Oh,
goodness. This is Baseball Tonight, the podcast.
This is the Baseball Tonight podcast for Wednesday, June 2nd, 2021. Producing from a makeshift studio in Boston is Taylor Schwenk. I'm Buster Olney, working from my home studio in New York. And today is the first Lou Gehrig Day. That's, of course, created this year by Major League Baseball. 80 years ago today, he passed away from ALS, which is now more commonly known as Lou Gehrig disease. He was diagnosed with that in 1939, the last year that he played in the major leagues. And a couple months after he stopped playing, he was honored at Yankee Stadium on July 4th, 1939, Lou Gehrig Appreciation Day. He was very emotional as tributes were given to him. And then Joe McCarthy, his manager, led him to a microphone where he made one of the most famous speeches of all time in this country's history. Give a listen to a little bit of that.
For the past 2 weeks, you've been reading about a bad break. Today, I consider myself the luckiest man on the face, of the earth.
Now, we're going to talk about Lou Gehrig today with Jessica Mendoza, Paul Imbakides, Dave Schoenfield. But let's talk about what happened in baseball yesterday. Making Moves is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Build your winning team today. Go to LinkedIn.com/sports. And the Cleveland Franconas are making moves. Again, over 500. A tense game against the Chicago White Sox last night. Austin Hedges came to the plate in the bottom of the fourth inning.
Cassis sets at the belt. Here's his pitch. Swung on, and there's a high fly ball to left. It's deep. Back on it is Vaughn. He's looking up. Home run, Hedges! Onto the porch.
WTAM 1100. The Indians were clinging to a 6-5 lead in the top of the ninth inning. Two outs, and this is what happened.
Now there's no room for anything or anybody.
Two down in the ninth. A one-run Indians lead.
Jose Abreu 0-4 tonight, but he can be the hero for Chicago now. Ground ball to short. Rosario throws. Book it. Karinchak hangs on for dear life.
Yeah, and Cleveland prevails. They are now 30-24. The St. Louis Cardinals, a devastating injury. On Tuesday, they placed right-hander Jack Flaherty on the injured list with a left oblique strain that manager Mike Schilt termed a real strain tear. A big concern for the Cardinals, who are already thin in their rotation. Fernando Tatis Jr. had to come out of the Padres game in Wrigley Field yesterday. An oblique issue. I'm sure we'll hear more about that later. Blue Jays president Mark Shapiro told reporters yesterday there's a chance the team could finally return home to Toronto at some point during the course of the 2021 season. At present, the Blue Jays are playing their home games in Buffalo. The Seattle Mariners placed outfielder Kyle Lewis on the 10-day injured list Tuesday with a torn meniscus in his right knee. It's unclear whether or not he's going to need surgery. We've talked about the Yankees in recent days and how it feels like they're absolutely in trouble. Well, last night they were locked into a close game with the Rays, 3-3, and it was a flare hit to right field.
Popped up shallow right, going to be a long run. And Frazier makes the play to end the inning. Clint Frazier with the diving play to keep the score tied at 3. It was popped up into no man's land. Odor couldn't get there. Frazier with the lunge and the catch, and he holds on.
So a great catch by Clint Frazier in that spot, and Frazier came to the plate in the bottom of the 11th.
Drill deep to left field. Going back, Morgan, turning, looking, see ya. Walk it off. A two-run home run for Frazier, and the Yankees win 5-3.
Oh, yes. Michael Kay on the Yes Network with that call. Padres and Cubs, and Wilson Contreras got a big hit for Chicago.
The lefty Weathers delivers. Contreras swings, hits one to deep left center field. This is long gone. Cubs are back on top. 4-3 over the Padres here in the fifth. Wilson Contreras, a two-run shot, number 9 on the season.
That from the Cubs Radio Network. Chicago continues to roll. And in L.A. last night, Cardinals and Dodgers, Mookie Betts at the plate, two outs in the ninth inning, and this happened.
First and second, two out, and Mookie Betts coming up. Dodgers have not had a walk-off win this season.
Betts out to left, O'Neill back, he caught it! Tyler O'Neill with the catch up against the wall, and the Cardinals win it! 3-2, and what a play by O'Neill to finish off game two!
A big win for the Cardinals right there. There was sad news yesterday about Mike Marshall, a player I rooted for when I was a kid. He became the first reliever to win the Cy Young Award when he set a major league record by pitching in 106 games in the 1974 season for the Dodgers. He passed away at the age of 78. Now, before we get to Jess, to Dave, to Hembo, if you're looking for world-class soccer, ESPN Plus is where to find it. The best teams, the biggest stars. Sign up now at ESPNplus.com. And on this week's episode of Fantasy Focus Baseball, Eric and Tristan highlight the points league leader one-third of the way through the season, evaluate the rest of season value for Trevor Story, wonder who the top draft pick would be today, and they mine for saves. Follow Fantasy Focus Baseball wherever you listen to podcasts.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of the show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Buster. Just go to Indeed.com/Buster right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Buster. Terms and conditions apply.
Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11 ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code BASEBALL. That's code BASEBALL. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
Welcome to the show!
Welcome to the show.
Welcome to the show, mate.
Welcome to the show. Whoa!
Welcome to the show, baby.
You're in the show with David Schoenfield.
David Schoenfield, who covers baseball for ESPN. And look, I had a big, wonderful plan about doing a big picture assessment of baseball. But then there were some goings on last night, Dave, where I felt like, no, we got to dive into these because there's some, it feels like significant events happening. And you start with this, Jack Flaherty going down with a significant oblique abdomen type issue for the Cardinals. I don't think we can overstate how big of a deal this could be in the National League Central. What do you think?
Yeah, no doubt, especially with the Cubs playing well right now. You know, he's 8-1. Ace of that staff, that rotation. Once you get past him and Adam Wainwright, you're kind of wondering where are these innings going to come from. They do have a good bullpen, but look, this is one of the better starters in baseball. You know, Mike Schilt said this is not a short stay, you know, coming up on the IL for Flaherty. So this is a huge, huge loss for the Cardinals for however long he's out. And you got to think ahead. how are the Cardinals going to replace him? And that could be turning eventually towards the trade market.
Yeah, and there's been a lot of speculation. I do radio in St. Louis. They always ask about, okay, Max Scherzer, the Nationals. Yep. You know, he, you know, being a Missouri guy, you know, having grown up as a Cardinals fan, I think there's a lot of natural, you know, talk about that. But here's the thing. Cubs are playing so well, and the Giants are playing so well. Two teams that I think in February that we believed were going to be sellers this year, they're not going to be. And the Giants, for example, were going to be this great source of starting pitching, guys like Kevin Gausman maybe being traded. Well, that's out the window. And I think increasingly when you look at what's going on with the Cubs, that might be out the window too. And so if you're talking about a Max Scherzer or a Matthew Boyd of the Tigers, Mike Minor at some point of the Royals, maybe he comes up. That is going to be a place where if the Cardinals want a Max Scherzer, they're going to be competing with other teams.
Yeah, you're right. The market's going to be thinned out for sure. There's no way. I just don't see how the Giants, unless they completely collapse in the next 8 weeks, are going to be sellers. They're in this. You know, they're going to be in that wild card race, maybe the NL West race. The Nationals, we'll get to another injury here in a moment, but they're in last place. Steven Strasburg, we'll see what happens with his MRI after he left last night's game. They're not looking good. So Max Scherzer, no doubt to me, now looks like the big prize of the trade market.
Yep. If you're Aaron Boone, the Yankees manager, you're driving home last night, you're feeling better about things. Clint Frazier makes a diving catch and then hits a walk-off home run in the 11th inning. But I kind of wonder if Boone has going through his head the idea of, you know what, maybe we'll move Gleyber Torres off shortstop. Maybe we'll put him at second base. Because they started Gio Urshela at shortstop last night, and Dave, he looked really good. Yeah. Now, I know he's got a knee issue, and there's going to be some concern about, you know, maybe not putting him out there for too many games. But my brain would have been percolating after watching that last night and how comfortable Gio Urshela looked, and maybe thinking about how Gleyber Torres might be more comfortable at second base. What about you?
Yeah, look, they're looking for offense, right? You know, but that could also improve the defense. Gleyber Torres is just not a top major league shortstop. He's below average. Urshela, you know, solid third baseman, you know, long term. Can he handle the position? I think so. I think he's probably at least the equal of Torres. Maybe you get Miguel Andujar's bat in there. You know, this guy was a really good hitter as a rookie way back in 2018. They need offense. You know, this is not the Bronx Bombers. I think they're 13th in the American League in runs. They won the game last night after squandering several opportunities late in the game to win it. So, yeah, Aaron Boone's looking for more flexibility, and he may have found it.
And we talked a few weeks ago about how later in the summer, if Trevor Story comes back and he's healthy, how it looks like the Yankees might be the best possible match for a deal. And heck, if you've made up your mind that you don't think Gleyber Torres is a major league shortstop, this can help with that transition. You could put Urshela at shortstop now. And then if you happen to trade for Trevor Story, you know, before we get to the July 31st deadline, you just slide Gio over to third base and Story takes over at shortstop, and you had Gleyber all settled in at second base.
Yeah, and you're playing LeMahieu at first base, you know, where obviously Luke Voit has had a couple stints now in the IL. They just sent Mike Ford back down to the minors after last night's game. He hasn't hit. So, again, they need depth in that lineup, however they come across it.
I wanted to ask you, because, of course, you've had a long-standing affinity for the Seattle Mariners. Jared Kelnick, who in spring training got a lot of attention for comments that he made, basically suggesting that his promotion to the big leagues has been delayed because of service time manipulation. Well, he was promoted to the big leagues after having a really good start in the minor leagues, and he has struggled out of the gate. What have you seen in him?
Yeah, I've watched you know, more than a few of his games. On the positive side, he wasn't striking out until last night. He struck out three times, but his strikeout rate hasn't been a problem. So that's a positive. At least he's putting the ball in play. Buster, he is seeing a lot of off-speed stuff, and that's what's throwing him. I'm sure he wasn't seeing, you know, 55% breaking balls in the minors. But again, I had said this back in spring training. This kid doesn't have much time above Class A. You know, 20 games in Double A in 2019. You know, what, a week and a half in AAA this year. So as good of a prospect as he is, he's very inexperienced. And not everybody's Juan Soto or Fernando Tatis. I think he's going to be fine, but there's an adjustment period. And now you worry about it getting into his head, you know, hitting 111.
Yeah, and there are plenty of stories in baseball history of great players whose career started slowly. Yeah. Mickey Mantle, for example, he struggled out of the gate. How about Willie Mays? Right out of the gate, he struggled. And George Brett, I think at one point he was so bad early in his career that he essentially was sent back down to the minor leagues to work on his swing.
And that'll, it brings up the mental side of the game. And Kelnick, you know, very, very confident player. And so far, you know, that's held up. He's talked about how I'm learning a lot. No doubt about that. They did move him down last night out of the leadoff spot. So maybe that takes a little pressure off him. You know, there's not a lot of help in that lineup. So that doesn't help him either.
All right. So around Memorial Day, we begin to look at the standings and make some big picture assessments. What's real? What's not? I think you and I agree. The Giants, we thought early in the season, maybe they're a flash in the pan. They look like they're real. I spent some time when we get to the beginning of June, like, okay, what am I missing? What players am I not paying enough attention to? What teams am I not paying enough attention to? And so for me, and I'm going to ask you for an example of that this morning. I was looking at the standings saying the Franconas, the Cleveland Indians under Terry Francona, they just keep on keeping on. Yep. I tweeted out about this. You know, he took over in 2013, and every year they finished over 500. They're again, you know, on a pace to win like around 90 games. They're 30-24. They have a 556 winning percentage. They just keep rolling. They find a way to win every single year. For you, what's something that jumps out?
Well, this team's not in first place, but we just brought up the NL Central. I look at the Milwaukee Brewers, and I'm fascinated. Brandon Woodruff, who I'd call a sleeper Cy Young contender, he's right up there with Jacob DeGrom, in part because he's been healthy. He is absolutely dominant. But then you got Corbin Burnes. We were talking about him a lot those first few weeks when he wasn't walking anybody. Then behind those two guys, you got Freddie Peralta, who he doesn't go deep into games, but he's lights out. You know, he dumped his curveball. He has a slider. He's unhittable. That 1-2-3 punch is unbelievable. And it's going to keep Milwaukee in the race. Now, the key is Christian Yelich ever going to hit another home run? Is Lorenzo Cain going to hit? Is Jackie Bradley going to hit? If they just get a little bit of offense, the Brewers can win that division.
Doesn't it feel like the Brewers are kind of like the National League version of the Rays? Where you look at the team and you're like, you know, going into spring training, like, I don't know how they're going to figure it out. But you just sort of assume that somewhere along the way, between David Stern, their general manager, between Kevin Cash, their manager, they'll find something. They seem to invent players or get through games and find a way to win, to the degree that I've actually had some evaluators say that in their eyes, the Brewers are still the best team in the National League Central.
Yeah, I'll be curious to see what kind of moves they make. They're really strong defensively up the middle, adding Willy Adames to play shortstop. You got Colton Wong, a Gold Glover at second. You know, whether it's Cain or Bradley in center field, you're great there. You know, so what are you going to add? First base, right field, you know, you got to just, all you can do is hope Yelich starts hitting. Maybe a third baseman, you know, so they need another bat. They don't have a great farm system, so there's not a lot of flexibility there. But with that pitching, they have a chance.
All right, Dave. Hang in there. I can hear it in your voice.
Yeah, allergies.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by.
You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish.
Yes, the clutch hits, the strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems, with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-timey chimney sweeps, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish. But you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com. Sign up today. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package.
Jessica Mendoza is an analyst for ESPN on baseball broadcast. She's in the middle of softball broadcast. And Jess, I did watch last weekend.
Yes. And your Vanderbilt team wasn't even playing.
But you know, I always defer to the SEC. So you're in the middle of that. And Oklahoma's still the team to beat in your eyes.
Absolutely. Yeah. Their offense is like no offense we've ever seen. It was cool because we were on EBC for the first time in the history of the sport. So, and Oklahoma was the team that was playing against Washington. And I don't like to, because, you know, I'm a little old school. I like a lot of the teams from the 90s, the Arizona teams. Like, there's been so many great offensive teams, but I've never seen a lineup like this. And it's must watch. And the fact that the World Series is always in the state of Oklahoma, and we've got the Sooners here as the number one seed. Oklahoma State has made it in also. And then, of course, a bunch of powerhouse teams like UCLA, Florida State, you know, Arizona. So I'm beyond excited. If you can't tell, this is totally like my heaven. And it's been 730 days since a ball has been thrown on this field here, in Oklahoma City for the World Series. So, I mean, the countdown is definitely anticipated, and yeah, we're going to have more camera crews, more than we've ever had to, ESPN. This will be the biggest event that we've had, in COVID, just because, we'll have full capacity. So 100% capacity here. And they just doubled the stadium. They redid it. So 13,000 people, it's going to be pretty cool.
That's awesome. And I know you're going to have a ton of fun. Across baseball today, you have Lou Gehrig Day, and our friend Boog Shambi has been so involved in the effort to fight ALS. And I know you have been part of that with him. He has that softball tournament that he's had in the past. Tell me what your reactions were when you heard about Lou Gehrig Day.
I mean, I was happy for not only Boog, like our friend that has worked tirelessly to just get more national recognition, as so many, and anyone who's had someone that's been affected, died from ALS, understands just how awful the disease is. You know, I've had family members, I've had friends, I've just to see what it does, and know that this is still a disease a lot of people don't know a whole lot about. I mean, the fact that forever it's been called Lou Gehrig's disease, and not really diving into ALS and understanding, you know, just what it does to the body, to the mind, and being able to increase that awareness, funding, and honestly, you know, the ALS community to just feel like they are on this huge stage. They have a nationally recognized day, that it's something that, you know, anytime you can feel like you're included with so many other people that are suffering and not feel so alone, which I know is a big part of Boog Shambi's mission and doing this. That's why I've always been a part, always talked about it, you know, buy the shirts, you know, get out the information, you know, be a part of the fundraisers, and really just hug anyone that you know that's suffering from ALS, and just let them know that you're on board in helping create more awareness to help hopefully one day prevents disease from affecting so many people.
Yeah. And baseball, Major League Baseball, has this unbelievable platform to do this. I remember, you know, as a kid, when you first read about Lou Gehrig, and then you read the story of how it all played out in 1939, that in spring training, he was struggling. You know, this is someone who was known as the most powerful man in the sport, you know, the Iron Horse, who played every day. And how heartbreaking was that? And so I think baseball has a natural platform to raise awareness because of who Lou Gehrig was. And, Paul Imbiakides will be coming up, and I was going to tell him the story about the year 1995 when Cal Ripken broke Lou Gehrig's consecutive game record, and what Cal's view of all that was from that year. All right. I want to ask you about a couple teams that have been surprises this year, and just ask you if you feel like, you know, based on what you've seen this season, whether or not you could see them continuing. Because, you know, when we came into spring training, we thought the Chicago Cubs probably were almost going to be sellers before the trade deadline. and that the San Francisco Giants were going to be sellers. The Cubs were going to be this great source potentially of position players, and the Giants are going to be this great source for other teams, contenders of starting pitchers. But now when you look at the standings, they're doing great. The Cubs are leading the National League Central. You see that continuing, Jess?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely see them contending. I feel like their month of May was something that was unexpected. And I hate saying that because there's so much talent. We've always talked about, gosh, look at all the names on the Cubs. Why aren't they producing the offensive numbers that you expect? And in the month of May, I mean, they cut their strikeout rate in half. I mean, Jock Peterson, who had been struggling early in the season, got hot, started to find himself. The addition of Nico Hoerner, you know, in this lineup consistently, and what he's brought, like as far as just contact skills and, you know, so many of the things that have been preached for years within the Cubs organization, I feel like are starting to come. And it feels like it's like the 11th hour, the 11th and a half hour for this to happen, because this is a team that it was expected to really sell everyone, and they still might. And this is probably, you know, I guess good news as far as trading pieces, because you want your guys to be able to perform. But then there's, you know, you go back to like, as we creep into July, you know, as we look at the next couple of months, will that pressure come onto a lot of these hitters again of, okay, like you could be gone, you know, and, you know, just all the noise that surrounds that. But I'll tell you what, to watch them hit, to watch their offense, it's something that I know I've been waiting for since they won it all, you know, a few years back, and to see them put it all together. It's pretty cool. And it's really been the month of May. I feel like April, that wasn't as strong, you know, is it just a good month and an outlier? Will they have a few more? I don't know if they can continue this the rest of the season, the way that they've been doing it, but I definitely love what they're doing right now.
Well, and if you're the Cubs front office, you want this team to declare strongly either way. Like if they're not going to contend, you want them way out. Or if they're actually going to contend and you're going to have this last, you know, last run at postseason glory, you want them to grab the National League Central by the throat and be in control when you get close to that deadline. What about the Giants? You see them continuing.
Yeah, you know, I do. I like, and I know that's such the minority thing because of the Dodgers and the Padres and how much attention that they get, but there's something to be said about like the Mauricio Dubons. And I mean, I just watch, you know, obviously the way they're pitching, and that's been the biggest story and, you know, why they've been, you know, contending, but it's with not, I mean, yes, the Buster Posey's and Evan Longoria's too, but I just watch the way that they play the game and some of their non-names and the fact that they have zero target. They are a team that even when being in first place and showing that they're a team to stay, that no one really talks about them. Like no one gives them any attention because of the two other big name teams within and the big names that are also within this division. So I don't know. I feel like this is a team that will just continue to do well. Will they win the division? I do feel like the Dodgers and the Padres are better overall teams, but you never, I mean, like you look at the course of 162, all the injuries, you know, Tatis Jr. just now having an oblique injury. I know it could be small, but I just feel like the Giants are that consistent, steady, like we're not going anywhere.
Well, that would be fun, you know, to have a three-team race as we go down the stretch. All right. Jess, have fun in Oklahoma. That'll be awesome.
Yeah. You guys tune in. Games start Thursday night. We got a quadruple header to kick it off on Thursday. So I might not wake up Friday morning, but I'm stoked.
Jumping into the numbers. This is Himbo Knows on Baseball Tonight.
Well, Embiid's a researcher at ESPN. He's a legend now. We have to, when we try to get in touch with him, we have to go through his people. Himbo, I was told going into this that I'm required to ask you how your day is going. I don't know if that's along the same lines as like spritzer, water, you know.
You have
to have oranges in your dressing room, but I'm told that I got to ask you how your day's going.
Much the opposite, Buster. I texted one Taylor Schwenk at 4:30 this morning saying, we're going to have to cancel my segment today, Taylor, and here's why. I broke down, my car broke down right outside the Lincoln Tunnel this morning on my way into New York City, needed to, you know, call the tow truck, bring me all the way back here. I did end up making it back home in time to do this segment, which of course is the highlight of every single week of mine. But at 4:30 in the morning, I thought it was something of a pipe dream. So it has not been a pleasant day here for me and my Chrysler 200.
Man, and that, and all kidding aside, you didn't have people to help you. I mean, to be in that spot, I always pity the people who had those moments when they're in these high traffic areas and their car breaks down. Oh my God, that must have been horrific.
The worst. The good news is that you and I wake up so early that no one's really on the roads anywhere in the world when we're driving. So at minimum, I was able to avoid that headache, but the rest of it wasn't so fun.
All right. Today is Lou Gehrig Day in baseball. And I know your favorite player of all time is Cal Ripken. I was going to tell you this story about Cal, something I always thought, he did such a wonderful job in 1995, the year that he broke Lou Gehrig's consecutive game record of 2,130. Cal, as you know, when he was a player, he was sort of the old school, you know, don't talk about your success very much. He wasn't someone who was naturally effusive when dealing with reporters. He was generally reserved, but I think that Cal figured out early that year that that this was something that fans would celebrate, and he also viewed it as an opportunity to celebrate Lou Gehrig. And so every city, because I'd always have to, go every time the Orioles went to a new city that year. I was the beat writer for the Baltimore Sun. He would sit down with the reporters from the place where we were, and one of the questions he was always asked, what have you learned about Lou Gehrig? And Cal did such a great job of going through what he had studied on about Lou Gehrig, what the information he'd gotten about him, to bring out, to forward all those great stories about the Iron Man.
Yeah, that's tremendous. And Buster, you're probably not surprised to hear that growing up in Baltimore, like your columns were among the first I ever remember reading in the Sun. Like that's when I was a kid at the time. So I was, I had just learned to read. I loved baseball. My dad got the Baltimore Sun every day, and I would comb through that newspaper every single day. And during the streak, obviously, it was such an extraordinary time to be reading that kind of stuff. Cal, I've had the chance to meet Cal Ripken Jr. and hang out with him a couple times over the recently. And it always strikes me how much reverence he has for the history of the game. Like the space that he occupies within the game is monstrous, but he understands that his place in the grand scheme of it is much less significant. And I know there are a lot of people that besmirch those records, the Gehrig and Ripken records, as being somewhat insignificant and overdone. And obviously, I totally disagree. People are entitled to their own opinions. But as it relates to Lou Gehrig, Buster, all I wanted to add was, on this day, like I tried to do once a year, this is my annual plea to your listeners. If you've not ever had the opportunity to watch the movie Pride of the Yankees, you absolutely must. It is my favorite sports movie. I think Gary Cooper does an extraordinary job of sort of chronicling the life of Lou Gehrig, and really doesn't, like, because it has, 100 years ago now, really holds up really, really well and demonstrates his character, his struggle, obviously his relationship with his wife, and obviously his luckiest man speech, which, for my money is the greatest ever given by an athlete.
All right, let's talk about baseball in 2021. Who is the most underrated star in the sport in your eyes?
Buster, I have a buddy who lives in Cincinnati who texts me every single week and asks, when are you going to introduce America to Jesse Winker? And my answer is today, my friend, today. So Winker, Buster, is mashing this season, but not just this season. Using weighted runs created plus from FanGraphs, Winker is one of only five qualified hitters to produce a batting line at least 60% above the league average since the start of the 2020 season. The other four are Mike Trout, Ronald Acuna, Juan Soto, and Fernando Tatis. He's in that kind of company. So what makes Winker so good? It's pretty simple, actually. One, he pummels fastballs. He owns the highest slugging percentage against the pitch of any qualified hitter in baseball. And two, he drives the ball to all fields. He owns a slugging percentage of 700 to his pull side, 700 to the opposite field, and 700 to center. He's one of only six players in the sport that can say that, and he's only one of only two lefties who can say that, along with Yordan Alvarez. He has big-time power and big-time power to all fields.
This Sunday night, we get our first look at the Yankees in 2021. We get our first look at the Red Sox in 2021. What do you got in the Yankees?
But two items in particular stand out, Buster. The Yankees have genuinely the worst outfield in baseball. That isn't my opinion. It's a statement of fact. They are the only team in baseball whose collective outfield has produced negative value by wins above replacement. And secondly, the Yankee lineup stalls more than any in baseball. That isn't my opinion. It is a statement of fact. The stat run scoring percentage calculates, quite simply, the percentage of time a base runner comes around to score. And for the Yankees, Buster, that figure is 25%, which ranks, you guessed it, dead last in baseball.
Jeez. What do you got in the Red Sox?
Well, the meat of the Red Sox order, Martinez, Bogarts, and Devers, the team's primary 3, 4, 5 hitters, they're off to an historic start. That group owns a collective OPS of 917, which leads all of baseball for those spots in the order. And only twice in the history of the Red Sox has that figure been exceeded in a season. Their 3-4-5 hitters in 1979 totaled a 938 OPS. That was primarily Fred Lynn, Jim Rice, and Carl Yastrzemski. And in 03, their 3-4-5 hitters produced a 933 OPS. That was Nomar, Manny, and David Ortiz. These guys are in super good company and on something of an historic pace.
Yeah, I'm excited. We got word yesterday that Xander Bogaerts, I think, is going to wear a microphone for us on tonight. So fired up about that. I did a radio in Boston recently, and I was asked the question, is Xander Bogaerts the best shortstop in baseball? And in 2021, so far, I think absolutely you can make a case that he is. So
I agree. He's been able to manage the defense over the years in ways that we didn't think that he could. He is consistently mashed and still somehow, Buster, is only 28 years old. Like, this is a player who has felt like he's been in his prime for 5 years, but he's still only 28. He's had an outstanding career, super underrated player across the sport.
All right. Hembo, thanks for doing this, and good luck with your car the rest of the day.
Later, boys.
Get out of here, Hembo. Sick of Hembo. Right.
Bleacher Tweets.
All right, Buster. Bleacher Tweets for a Wednesday. First up, we have Elizabeth Hart at eHart Tweets. She writes in, if pitcher Ohtani could pitch to batter Ohtani, would pitcher Ohtani strike him out, or would batter Ohtani hit a home run? What do you think, Buster?
I love this question. It's kind of a cool thing. It's like, my son plays the show, and he, I'll be watching with him, and he'll have like, on one team that he has, he's got like Paul DeJong and Vladimir Guerrero Jr. And he'll be playing a team against those guys. Well, in Ohtani's case, like, he could fill every role if he really wanted him to. Right. I think probably there'd be a lot of strikeouts because Ohtani, the pitcher, is so good. And I think there would be some home runs because Ohtani, the hitter, is certainly someone who can adjust to high velocity like Ohtani throws. What do you think?
I think Ohtani the hitter would probably win out. And I think you need to get Jake on the case, because Jake could put both Ohtanis on two different teams there. So maybe throw that at him and see if he can simulate it for you.
I have not seen him use Ohtani as a pitcher. I've only seen him have Ohtani as a hitter. He plays left field for Jake.
All right. Well, maybe you can make that happen for us. Next up, we have Andrew Campbell at Real Camp Drew. He writes in, hey, Buster, all these crazy fans rushing the field and crossing the line when it comes to NBA stars. The Ron Artest story has been retold a lot lately. I'm curious, are there any crazy ball player fights of fan stories you can think of, not including Cobb or Ruth?
I was going to say there definitely is that one of Ty Cobb going into the stands and really beating up a fan. My goodness, there are tons of stories. The one that recently I think got some attention, there was a fight within the last 20 years where the Dodgers were in Wrigley Field and a fan stole a cap of one of the Dodger players. Some of the Dodger players went into the stands and they went after a fan who they thought stole the cap, and turns out that particular fan didn't steal the cap.
Yikes.
And there were lawsuits and all that, and it didn't turn out so well for the folks who were in uniform, that's for sure.
Well, if the fans make it to the field, I'm all for players fighting fans, because once you're in that domain.
I mean, if they go on the field, yeah, you're saying all bets are off. You're one of the people cheering when the idiot fans run across the field and gets tackled.
Absolutely. Yeah, the security guard tacklings are fun. That we didn't talk about on the podcast, but the Nats had a streaker on the field last week, and he like ran into the tube where they like roll up the tarp for the infield. I thought that was pretty funny, and he like hid inside of it. He got escorted out, obviously, but not tackled. But yeah, if you enter the arena, you best be ready to get hit. That's my attitude.
And let me tell you something. There are definitely different cultures through the years in being at baseball games. There are definitely different cultures in different ballparks. Like when I covered the Padres, if a fan ran on the field, security came out and sort of slowly corralled the person and led them off politely. If a fan ran on the field at Yankee Stadium, it was like the New York Giants defense broke out when it came to the security, and the fans in the stands would cheer when they were just violent hits on the fans, the idiot fans who are running on the field.
Love that.
Buster, Philadelphia cheers the streaker as well.
Hey, Hembo, we're just wrapping up the show, actually, in the middle of a segment.
Oh, my God. Sorry.
It's okay. That's it for today. My thanks to Jess, Dave, Hembo, and Taylor. Have a great day, everybody. Thanks for listening. Stay safe. Forgive Hembo. And remember, hate and inequality based on skin color is something we need to fight against every single day.
Thanks for listening to the Baseball Tonight podcast. If you're playing fantasy baseball, check out the Fantasy Focus podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. The Baseball Tonight podcast.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.